About Last Night is a podcast series that I have wanted to record for ages. Each episode, I talk to someone who excels in their field about the highs and lows of their creative journey and how and where they find joy in their lives. Some people have asked me about the name. Why About Last Night? Simply because I try to meet my guest towards the end of the day and we chat over a drink or two. This episode's guest is the founder of makeup brand Sappho New Paradigm, Joanne Fowler. Joanne is an Emmy-nominated makeup artist and has a TV and film career that spans 25 years. She was compelled to start her own makeup line when an actress she worked with on The L Word decided she didn't want anything with parabens on her face anymore. And so Joanne's voyage of discovery began. I have to thank a gorgeous Canadian friend of mine, Michelle, who is also an incredible makeup artist and was actually one of Joanne's students, for WhatsApping me and suggesting that I meet Joanne when she was recently in London. So, Sappho is a vegan, clean, cruelty-free, high-performance cosmetic brand. It is a brand that values transparency and is built on a huge amount of integrity. The brand is actually launching in March 2019 in the UK, and I cannot wait. Of course, I did my research, as I do for every episode, but it really, really didn't prepare me for the incredible heart and soul of this aspirational woman and the experience and knowledge that Joanne pours into her brand. Okay, so you might be rolling your eyes as essentially we are talking about makeup, but it was thought-provoking and eye-opening. After all, everything we put on our skin filters into our bloodstream. Since meeting Joanne, I have revamped my entire makeup bag, and it was rather liberating. As Joanne said to me when we started chatting, once you know, you can't go back. So what do we talk about? We talk about Joanne's life and her creative journey to date, and of course, Sappho, and the importance of green beauty and being a sustainable brand. Here's our conversation. This is a really exciting one. I'm sitting with the gorgeous, gorgeous Joanne Fowler. It is such a delight to meet you, and I'm so grateful that you've made the time, because I know you've had a crazy week in London.
It's been a lot of fun.
Which we can hopefully talk about. So, to put it in context for everyone, Joanne Fowler, you are an Emmy-nominated makeup artist. You have been a makeup artist for 25 years. You've worked in TV and film that I'd love you to tell us a little bit about as well. And what's really exciting is you're launching your own makeup line, which is called Sappho New Paradigm. So we've got a lot to talk about. I want to start at the beginning with maybe the most obvious questions, because, I mean, I love makeup. I think it's very creative. And I accept my limitations, but I'd love to know how your interest in makeup started and how you actually became a makeup artist. You know, was there a moment where you thought, right, this is definitely what I'm doing?
Well, when I was 16, I saw in a magazine how you could use highlight and shading to change the shape of your eyes.
Okay.
And I had very small eyes, and of course I was a child of the 50s and 60s, so I loved Twiggy and I wanted eyes.
Okay, yeah.
So when I saw that you could manipulate and you could change features, there was shading and highlight, I was fascinated. And so my first foray into makeup was asking my mother at 16 if I could take a makeup course. And she said she was not in a good mood that day. And this was not typical of her, but she said only whores wear makeup.
Oh, Lord, okay.
So, you know, that went on the back burner for a while.
That's quite unequivocal, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it was quite funny, actually. She didn't really mean it, because I did wear makeup when I was 16, but it was just one of those days. So anyway, I put that to rest, and I became a child care counselor, and I worked with kids, kids, actually, for about 10 years. But, you know, when I moved to Vancouver, my best girlfriend was from Leeds, and she was a little hair commando with a big mohawk.
Oh, yeah.
She was producing fashion shows, and it was the 80s, so we wore incredible makeup. I mean, you know, our eyes were huge.
Yeah.
It was full on hair and makeup. And so she produced underground fashion shows, and I started to do the makeup for them. And so eventually I just sort of, I took a makeup course, and I, all my teachers always hired me.
Well, so there you go. That's a good sign.
Yeah, I was obsessed. I took actually a couple of courses twice because I just really wanted to be good at it. And I just loved it. And my first teacher hired me, and my second teacher hired me. And so I was very fortunate, and I started in the film business in 1988 in Vancouver when there was like three shows. There's MacGyver, Jump Street,
oh, yeah, yeah,
Johnny
Depp,
and Wise Guy.
Oh, wow.
And I started on Wise Guy, so that was my first job, and looked back.
It was organic then. It sounds like you knew you loved it. It looked really interesting. From what I can gather about you, even though we've just met, although oddly I feel like we kind of know each other.
Yeah.
It's lovely when that connection happens. But it feels like you were just thoughtful and you made a decision, so you were just eating up all the information you could. Was it quite a smooth progression? Because it's hard to get jobs sometimes.
It was, you know, when you really put your mind to something and you have a great intention, and I did.
Yes.
It was meant to be.
Yes.
Everything ran smoothly. I was able to make the connection. I got into the union within a year. My teacher, for instance, took him 10 years.
Wow.
So I think it's all timing and all that kind of stuff. I think just the stars aligned and opened this path.
Well, I think you and I touched on when we first sat down to chat that we both have that spiritual side, and it obviously sounds like there was no ambiguity in the vibrations you were putting out.
Not at all.
So the universe was bound to manifest.
Absolutely.
So you touched on Johnny Depp there. So did you do his makeup then?
No. I worked. I was a junior makeup artist at that time. I worked doing extras, and background, and that kind of thing. I did meet him quite drunk one night. but that's another story.
Okay.
I was a junior makeup artist, so I just worked on background at that time.
Was it quite a shock going from college to actually being on set? They are such grueling hours, really long, and you've just got to be on it, haven't you?
Yeah.
You can't dilly dally.
Well, you know, I remember going to work at like 4 o'clock in the morning in my little, I had like a little 1966 Valiant car. I was poor. I was like a student. And I just felt like I was in this special little group of people that were going and traveling at 4 o'clock in the morning to the, you know, out to the forest to make to be creative and make a movie and to. It was a level of creativity that I had never experienced. I loved it. I was like, my boss would send me home and I wouldn't leave. Like, I would stay because I wanted to watch him work with the blood, or I wanted to see him do like an effect.
Yeah.
And I would stay like 16, 17 hours. I had the energy because I was just so grateful and happy to be there.
And
so,
it fueled your fire. It did for
20 years.
Yeah,
I mean,
amazing.
It really did for 20 years. I really enjoyed my job. I mean, there's a lot about Hollywood and a lot about, you know, being on set that is very, very difficult and not so much fun. But, you know, all my time in that trailer doing makeup and working with hairdressers and creative people and actors was fabulous.
That's wonderful.
You know?
Tell us a little bit about some of the films, because I know you've worked on some big names. I read X-Men 2, Twilight
X-Men 2, I did all the stunt stuff. So I did like Nightcrawler's makeup, that was a grueling one. That was two and a half hour makeup every day, and then he would be up. Actually, it was way more grueling for him. And then this amazing stuntman would be up on wires for like 12 hours and be watching him, and then we'd have to take him apart at the end of the night. So that was a lot of work.
I bet it was.
That took me a couple of months to recoup from.
Like, I bet.
Physically, it's so hard on you.
That's what I'm realizing that I hadn't thought about before. You have to have stamina and endurance.
You have to be very strong.
Yeah.
You do.
That's so interesting. Because it's such delicate work, really.
And it's you have to be able to concentrate. You have to be able to tune out noise and just concentrate on. But that's what makes the time go by, and that's what was interesting, is that you could be so... you know, it was easy to be so concentrated to do that fine work. And yeah, yeah. I always looked at every one of my actors as a painting. So when I looked at a frame, I looked at the light in that frame. And, you know, I love my work on set. A lot of makeup artists like to work in the trailer and then send their assistants out. But for me, the work that's going to be on camera is the work that you do on set. I was very much hands-on and control freak, I guess you'd say.
Well, I think that when you are a creative, it's hard to separate that control freakness.
Yes.
Because I think that's kind of our strength and our weakness. Yes. Really.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, absolutely. And also I'm getting from you, there was a real breadth in the work that you did on TV,
yes,
and film, because
yes.
You know, you start off by saying when you were 16 you loved the sort of highlighting and contouring thing. This is slightly tangential, but you know all the contouring that all the young girls do now. I think Kevin O'Coin started it, did he, or who
started it? But it was really the Kardashians that brought it to its height of orange makeup, and you know, but the contour is actually coming, it's going away now.
Oh, is it? Yeah, well, yeah, it's kind of passed me by. It all looks a bit too high tech, and
yeah,
with all due respect to everybody that likes it, a little bit unnatural to me. Do you know what I mean? Because
yes,
some people can actually change the way their face looks.
But you know, you don't have to do it. You can get that effect without going with the heavy contours.
Okay,
you know, you can do some beautiful blending and you can get that same sort of effect. I think it was just really a style and a fad, and definitely on its way out.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
No, but what I was touching on is the breadth of your work, because you started off with the interest in making your eyes bigger and highlighting and contouring, using shades for that. But then you do this incredible Nightcrawler makeup, and then you mentioned working with blood and stuff. So,
because when I'm old school.
Okay.
So when I started to become a makeup artist, you learned everything from beauty to prosthetics. So you did all of it. So
okay.
I even, you know, built prosthetics. So I learned the whole thing.
You built prosthetics.
I did. It was just what you did. It didn't start to get really specialized till maybe 15 years ago or something. So so even to this day, like, I'm on the roster for the special effects crews for the union, but I also... you know, and then when you're working in television, you have to be able to do everything, really.
Yes,
You know, so I think sort of old school makeup artists were very well rounded in that sense. You know, it was just all makeup.
You didn't really
differentiate. But towards the end of my career, my last real 6 years working full time was beauty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was the L word.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And
that must have been so cool.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I still, Jennifer Bills is part of my company. She sits on my board.
Oh,
still.
Wonderful.
And I'm still in contact with most of the women on the show.
That was a great show. I remember that here.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they're talking about a reboot, so that's
kind of
interesting and exciting.
Would you say that was the high of that? You know, it's hard to pull out things. Oh, definitely. A high.
Yes, it was definitely a high.
And is that when you were nominated for an Emmy?
No, I was nominated, well, during that time, because, you know, that only goes for 6 months of the year, so, or 5 months of the year. So, in between those few years, like in the summer times, I did I worked on the Twilight movies. I did the second unit for Norma Patton.
Okay.
I did Final Destination 5, I guess.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
You know, so I would do projects in between the L word, but the L word was 6 years of my life, like in, you know, every season. And it was a highlight, because the women I worked with were, the actors were just so amazing and interesting and lovely, and we had so much fun. And I worked with a hairdresser, Paul Edwards, who I adore, who's probably the best hair stylist I've ever worked with.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Bar none, and he's also part of my company.
This is good.
Yeah.
I think you surround yourself, and I think this is really a vital thing. I wonder if you agree. I think you will. That as a creative, you know, we make ourselves vulnerable, and we place trust in people in every area of our professional working life. So surrounding yourself with people that you like and you trust and you want to be with, well, that's kind of what makes our world go round, really.
Yes, absolutely.
I often say that as a singer, I feel it's a little fraudulent to say it's work. The satisfaction and the yeah, and the that gratifying, thankful feeling that runs through me, and you just want to do more and more and more.
And that's what Sappho is for me now, really.
Yes. Like in, so let's talk about that. It's a quite a big step to kind of go, okay, yes, I've been a makeup artist for 25 years. I have a wealth of experience, which clearly you do, and a wealth of knowledge. To go from doing that to starting your own company, and also I feel that beauty and makeup, it can be a bit of a minefield. There's so much to take on board. I mean, I might be wrong, but I'm thinking from your expression.
But honestly, it was never meant to be a company.
Okay, so how did it start?
Around 2006, 2007, Mia Kirshner, who's one of the actors from The L Word, came and sat in my chair, and she said, "Joanne, I'm not wearing any more parabens in my makeup." And I said, "Well, that's just absolutely fine, Mia. I don't know what you're talking about, but maybe, you know, you could fill me in." So she started to, she was living in Paris at the time, so of course she was had the European sensibility and all the information about parabens and phthalates, and she started talking to me about it, and I was kind of blown away. So I did a couple of things. I ordered all the organic makeup that I could find for her, and then I also talked to my girlfriend Norma Hill Patton, who's from England.
Okay.
She used to do French and Saunders and Vicar Dibley, and she's Halle Berry's makeup artist now.
Oh, okay, wow.
And I phoned Norma, and I was talking to her, and she said, "Oh, I have a book." And she gave me a book, and it was called Just Not a Pretty Face. So the first paragraph in this book talked about how they had found hundreds upon hundreds of chemicals in the bloodstreams of these test subjects. And it included even things like rocket fuel from the 1970s, found in the bloodstream.
Wow.
Parabens, phthalates, petrochemicals. The test subjects were newborn babies still in the hospital across the United States in 2004.
Oh my God.
My life changed in an instant.
This is shocking, yes.
It changed in an instant. I have a lot of cancer in my family. My sister actually just wrote me yesterday. She's just gone through her first chemo for leukemia.
Oh, gosh,
my mother passed away of brain cancer. My brother had Hodgkin's disease. So
okay. So it's an important.
So it became something like I realized that I couldn't do my job anymore. Like, how could I put this on people without them knowing?
Yes.
And I didn't know. So Jennifer Beals had said to me the year before, "You should start your own makeup line." And I said, "Oh my God, why would anybody do that? Like, that's crazy. And the world does not need another makeup line by another makeup artist," is what that's a quote. And then the next year was Jennifer. "The world needs another makeup line." But I really made it for myself. And I made it I was 50 years old. I owned a beautiful home. I had a couple of $100,000 in the bank. There was no reason. I was at the top of my game.
Yeah, yeah.
There was really no reason for me to start a company, but I felt like I needed to have a product that I could work with. Oh, and also, Mia would not wear any of the makeup that I had gotten for her. She didn't like any of it.
Okay.
We were on HD, so I just thought I have to create something myself.
Okay.
It was
a compulsion.
Yeah. It came to me. I always say, like, Sappho happened to me.
Downloaded from somewhere.
And I've been chasing Sappho ever since. I had no idea. I had no idea what a SKU was. I didn't know. I'd never worked in a retail store longer than, like, 2 months. I didn't know anything about business. I mean, I'm an artist.
I hear you.
I didn't know, and I'm dyslexic. I'm horrific with numbers, so I'm near dyslexic, so it was like I went to school for 10 years. I feel like I at least have a BA in business now. It took, you know, quite a bit out of me. But the first line was really designed to have a little online store when I retired. But then people loved it and people wanted it. And then women were needing it. And it sort of started to grow and I started chasing it. And
Let's talk a little bit about the name. Why Sappho New Paradigm?
Well, Sappho is a Greek poet from 610, circa 610 BC. Plato called her the most important artist of his time.
Amazing.
She wrote lyrics. She was a lyricist for a lyre, so she wrote poetry. She was sexually fluid, I would say. She talked about her love of women, and yet she was married, we think.
Okay.
There's only fragments of her poetry left, but she was the first poet to write in first person.
Okay,
and
lovely.
She wrote about love, and yeah. She wrote about longing, and she wrote about all those things that we feel as women. And so I just, you know, this is a feminine energy that we're trying to,
you're harnessing.
That is our harnessing, right?
Yeah,
we're harnessing
you
that,
are.
That very powerful feminine energy for a time now where I believe that anyone that buys green beauty is a revolutionary. We're taking a stand against, you know, the patriarchal system that has fed us, you know, food and chemicals and things that are really bad for us, and now we have a chance. We have a chance to make a choice, and it is a direct choice of our own for our own good. And women can. And
well, from what you're saying, you know, Sappho New Paradigm is your way of pouring your knowledge and your passion about what you do into a brand where you're giving yourself and your board members and all your customers the power back.
Exactly. It's 100% transparency of ingredients, and that is the cornerstone of our line. We're organic.
Yes.
You're
free. Vegan.
We're vegan. We do not use any FD&C dyes. We're really actually one of the purest lines out there. We have a really high degree of we have a really high standard for our ingredients.
Absolutely.
All our ingredients are EcoCert, Cosmos, USD Organic certified. Every ingredient rates 2 or under on the EWG Skin Deep scale.
Wow.
And so just so everybody knows, that Skin Deep is a great website that you can go to and punch in your ingredients and get a number from 1 to 10 on the Richter scale.
Great.
Yeah, and 3 or under is considered safe. We use 2 or under.
That's wonderful.
So, you know, for me, it's about empowering women to make choices that are good for themselves, but also just offering the information, because we never had the information.
And actually, how important, you know, that old adage, which is bandied around, but knowledge is power, and knowledge is power. I think nowadays the tide is definitely turning. We're all becoming more discerning. We're all being more thoughtful in our choices, because we need to for ourselves as individuals, but as a community and a global community.
And what's really interesting too, what is a really good teaching point for people is that when you think about what goes on your skin goes into your bloodstream.
Yes.
Think about all the patches they're using now to transdermally affect your health. There's pain patches, there's, you know, hormonal patches, there's all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So we do know that what you put on your skin goes into your bloodstream.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's just really important to offer women, you know, and adorning yourself will always be part of our world.
Absolutely.
You know, women,
absolutely
love to adorn themselves.
And we all have different mechanisms or routes that get us there, but we all have, for me, it's quite, my heritage is Indian, and it's almost ritualistic for me, because I used to see my aunts and my mother, you know, my mother always used to have this thing. She'd come back from work, she was a teacher, she'd have a shower, she'd change her sari, and she'd sit down and put her makeup on before my father came home.
Wow.
I grew up watching these glamorous Indian women put these beautiful silk saris on, put their jewelry on, put their makeup on, you know, and it was like a ceremony.
Absolutely.
Every time, you know. And I think we all come to it in different ways. But it's important, I think, for all of us. It's even the choice, you know, a lot of women, my daughter, for instance, doesn't wear any makeup day on day, maybe a little bit of eyeliner and lip gloss when she's going out, which I also think is really beautiful.
Absolutely.
But that's her choice, and she is gorgeous. Tell me about the products. Tell me about how it's evolving. You started with a foundation, is that right?
Well, I started with a small line of foundations, and we've built it out. We have 12 tones, so 3 light, 3 medium tones, 3 darker tones. We've been working with an amazing designer from a company called Common Instincts in Berlin. And our plan was to actually launch in London last week.
Okay.
At the Indie Beauty Show. However, we started working with an amazing designer from Berlin in June, and that's a whole other story of how magically that came together. Leopoldine, the designer that's doing the packaging,
oh, wonderful,
got the same birthday as me, and we have amazing art conversations. And so we took the time to come to IVE to show everybody our products, the inside of our products, and to also show the plans for our outside. So we're in the midst of this incredible design process, and so we will be ready for the late spring. And we're incorporating new sustainable packaging, reusable, recyclable packaging. You know,
tell me, you mentioned something when we were chatting before we started recording about some of the tubes you have, and that you have some, that was, I found that fascinating. Tell everyone about that.
So we have, we're very, very much dedicated to sustainability, and so also to using the least amount of plastic possible.
Yeah.
And in some ways, Savile is my apology to the generation that's coming up.
So, what a wonderful thing to say.
It's devastating. I see all that plastic in the
really
oceans.
Is.
And so we have a tube that I researched an additive that we put into our plastic tubes, and that additive allows the plastic biodegrade in a landfill in 2 to 5 years as opposed to 2 to 500 years.
That's wonderful.
So, you know, our promise is to get greener as we grow. We're still a very small company, but everything that we do, we're trying to do mindfully. And we've made a few mistakes, and we go back and we fix them. We also have a philosophy of you're allowed to make mistakes as long as you apologize and move on.
Absolutely.
And really, we're a company that wants to provide. I'm a makeup artist, so I want products that are going to perform.
Yes.
So we don't have lipsticks yet because I don't use FD&C dyes, and I don't use carmine, which is crushed beetles. We're vegans.
So. Okay. So the eyeshadows, for instance.
So they're all low heavy metal minerals.
Okay.
They're EcoCert, Cosmos. Everything is pressed with certified organic jojoba oil or certified organic argan oil.
Okay.
You know, everything is curated. Every single ingredient is curated. So we have like pineapple juice, and we have tequila.
Oh wow!
And we have
tequila is my nemesis.
You know, but that's, you know, it's great for your skin.
Oh,
you know?
Good.
I mean, it's not actually tequila, but it's from the tequila plant.
Well, next time someone makes me drink a shot, I might just throw it over my
just
face.
Just throw it over your face. It doesn't quite work that way, but you know,
okay,
but we still use it.
I'm just being silly.
No, I know. So am I.
So that I find really interesting, because I think a lot of people, because I think we are all going through an exponential learning curve when it comes to so many facets of our world, you know, certainly beauty and skincare, that you're saying, you know, you are clean, it is vegan, it is organic, you know.
And it performs.
And well, that's the thing that I find really interesting, and I think that's such a headline.
Yes.
Because sometimes people go, oh yeah, well this is a really thoughtful brand, but can it possibly do what all the things that it says it's going to do? But it does, which is really wonderful. What I'm interested in as well is you've got some wonderful people around you, but I get the feeling you're pretty hands-on on every... It's the control freakishness coming back, right? You know, the whole point of this podcast is to talk about people's creative journeys and their highs and lows and where and how they find joy. And I think what's really interesting is whether I'm in conversation with you or a jewelry designer or a fashion designer or a music producer or another musician, we all find it really hard to let go of that control, because it is our passion, our compulsion, it's in us, it's embedded, and it's difficult to detach and separate yourself from, because it's part of you. And everything you're telling me, she's laughing at me, but I think she's laughing with me, because
yes.
I think I've hit the nail on the head. I think, Joanne, that resonates with you, doesn't it? It's just, so tell me, so everything, you've got lovely marketing people, you've got your board, you obviously need to have a team of people researching everything, because you can't sit there and do
it. No, I do it all.
You do it all yourself?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, not only is she creative with an amazing career,
you know,
she's also super
I'm used to working 16 hours a day, and I'm very grateful to be able to do that 16 hours a day inside.
That's amazing.
You know, because in film, you know, you're doing your 16 hours outside.
In some forest or somewhere.
I don't find I work a lot of hours. I research because I'm absolutely fascinated by it. I'm always looking for new green technologies. Very hands-on on all the ingredients. I have to have conversations with my formulators. Everything. I like to design the product, so I need to have that information. I need to know as much as they, or not as much as they do, because I don't really know how to put everything together. But I know all my ingredients, and I research all the time.
So your personal makeup philosophy has changed then over the years?
Not really.
No,
I've never been somebody that believed that you had to wear makeup to walk out the door, ever.
Okay.
So makeup was always fun for me. It was always something to adorn myself with, depending on how I felt. And, you know, quite often, probably the majority of the time, I don't feel like wearing makeup.
Okay.
So I've always sort of kept that philosophy. I think that human beings are beautiful. You know, whether you have, even if you have bad skin, you're beautiful. Like, it's, I don't want to say bad skin, let's say, you know, broken out skin. I don't have any judgments around, like, people are nervous when they meet me. They're worried about their makeup and stuff. I have no judgments around that, because makeup is just, for me, it's just a matter of adorning yourself however you like to adorn yourself.
Yeah.
And there's no rules. And I also don't judge somebody for wanting to wear makeup all the time. I mean, I think it's just such a personal choice.
It's an extension of your self-expression, isn't it,
sure,
really?
Absolutely.
Do you think some skins are harder to match colours with and stuff? Because Asians, I've always found it very difficult to find foundations. I don't need to look any further now because I have Sarah in my bag. Which is a Sappho new paradigm.
You know, that's another
foundation.
Thing. You know, as a film makeup artist, you did makeup on whoever sat in the chair. So you never had control over who was going to be in your cast. So
yeah,
you always had to be prepared for everyone. And so that's, like, for me, my only sadness about my line really is that I would love to have 40 colors.
But you're starting.
But we're starting.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there's been a few missteps. We have, and I have an apology for Miss Pam Greer right now, because one of the colors is called Pam. And we're finding now that when we put it on women, that it's a little bit red.
Ah.
And that's because Pam is part Cherokee.
Ah. Interesting.
Now I'm sorry, Pam, to tell you publicly that we're taking a little bit of the red out and we're going to make it a little bit more of an olive base. But no, it's not hard to make those colors. It's just that, you know, making one color, no matter what color it is to add to a line is a fair bit of
very involved process.
It's,
I should imagine,
a financial consideration
as well.
Right now.
Yeah.
And we're a small, independently funded company. We will not take large money in, because I will not give up control of these ingredients.
I was going to say, isn't it so important to absolutely stand by your brand ethos and your principles? And, you know, I always feel, whether you're big or small or whatever, if you're being steered by your core values, you're never going to go far wrong, really, are you? What about the challenges? You know, you've got a lot to juggle. Life has been interesting. We all have challenges that come our way. How do you juggle your personal and professional lives? How do you juggle things that come to you left field? And how do you tune into your joy? Because we all have times in life, don't we, where we go, oh my Lord, I just really can't believe this is happening.
You know, occasionally I will, quote unquote, you know, lose it.
Yeah.
I will always apologize. I try not to, I just try to be the best person I can be. And I do a lot of, I meditate, and I listen to a lot of inspirational speakers.
Yeah, me too.
That's my food.
I think it's always about finding little threads that will keep you clear and grounded, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I have a great deal of frustration over things to do with numbers and stuff like that. So I'm very grateful. One of the biggest changes in my company was just hiring somebody to do invoices.
Wow.
8 hours a week. It actually made more of a change in my life in terms of stress than anything else.
Do you know, it's very interesting because I think whenever I speak to creatives, that kind of the business, the paperwork, that's the bit that tips us over the edge. It's such an interesting thing. As you say, 16 hours a day is nothing to you, you know, and it probably, you thrive on it in a kind of way.
I do.
Now I'm feeling a little bit put out because I've met you at the end of your stay, but I'm going to make you promise that we will have more time when you come back to London.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I will lose it. But listen, before you go, I'd like you to tell me, looking at your career, what are the highs? Pick out some of your favourite highs and then maybe couple that with some of the lows.
That's so difficult. That's very difficult for me. You know, there's milestones along the way. You know, the first time when you get into IAC, into the filming, you get your first show, your first time you're head of department. You know, with the L Word was a real high for us because they took us to New York and LA, and it was a long term relationship because often in film and television you just know somebody for 3 months or 4 months and then you move on. And so this was 6 years of going back, and so, you know, I just think it's the people. Like, I just think of the Pam Greers and the Jennifer Beals and you know, Emma Bell and, you know, just all these wonderful actors and actresses throughout my career that I worked really intensely with that I was just a better person for knowing. Well, and just the creativity. It's just so much fun to learn from other people. And it's also film, and even SAFO is a very, we're all hands in. And so just the collaborative efforts of everyone really excites me. The lows were dealing with predatory investors.
Yes.
You know, having to go through a grueling time and... but coming at the end of it.
Which is a wonderful thing. But I just think there is so much integrity coupled with fire and passion in this brand. So listen, Joanne, before you go, the one thing I do have to ask you is I'd like you to define joy for you in 3 words.
Love your life.
Perfect. I cannot tell you. It's been like a bit of an intense roller coaster for me. I don't know if you feel it too. I don't know. I kind of want to laugh, hug you and cry all at the same time. But thank you, thank you, thank you so much for making the time. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.